Episode number 304, Church Growth Barriers with Michael Lukaszewski, part two. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen. This is episode number 304 of our podcast. We are recording this episode of the show from Ridgecrest Conference Center in Asheville, North Carolina. We're here on a planning retreat with a portion of our team. We're planning the next 6 to 8 months worth of ready-made media content for 1230.media, as well as 6 to 8 months worth of content for our new kids library at 1230kids.com. So be sure to check that out. Lots of new content coming. I'm hanging out with Trevor Miller, our director of Ready Made Media. Trevor, with our boxes especially, yeah. Series in a Box is kind of one of our signature products. Yeah. Tell me some of the ways that if I'm a pastor, how can I take full advantage of all the pieces? What's included and how can I take advantage of all the pieces that are in a box?
I mean, I love everything that's on the store, you know, all the pieces and parts that we create. But to me, Series in the Box is the most exciting piece. And the biggest reason is because inside of a single box, you have everything that you need as a pastor or a leader within your church to be able to create an experience for your people before they ever show up at the church. And then also as they're in the worship experience itself. So before they ever show up, it's because there is social media opportunity that exists within the box. You can use from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can use them in all the different areas. There's blank versions. There's title versions. You can use them to promote what's happening at your church. And it's very versatile that way. Secondly, once the people actually show up at your church and they get into the seats and they're in the worship experience, you have everything you need from graphics to video. You have all the parts and pieces to create a really great worship experience. But on top of that as well, what comes inside of a box is either a 4 week to 6 week outline for the sermon series itself. So you have titles, you have kind of a quick idea, you have a scripture to start with for each one of those weeks, but it gives the pastor still freedom to be able to create that sermon however they want to, but still kind of follow a format that goes all the way through.
So we have a series in a box and then we have a premium box.
Correct.
So
yes.
Tell me the difference in the two.
So the series in the box is a box that contains only the outline. So 4 to 6 weeks, you have a full write-up and then you have kind of a write-up for each and every week. It's just a quick starter. The premium box actually contains an entire manuscript for each and every one of the weeks of the series as well. So if you, let's say you got a lot going on, maybe you're working a full-time job in addition to this church that you're planting perhaps, then we want to create for you an opportunity to be able to have a manuscript to really give you a foot up as you create your sermon to be able to give to your people on the weekend.
So at the end of the show today, we're going to share a coupon code for a free countdown from our library. Yeah. But one thing I want you to check out is on our website, 1230.media, you can go to the Ready Made tab and you can go to the free media section. And we have free products from every single product line. And there are free boxes on the site there. So one or two free boxes that you can download, see everything that's in a box, see how you would use it. We were talking with a pastor from Canada yesterday that said, like, I scrape the barrel of every little piece I can get out of the box and I use every
here's a good way to use that. I mean, if these series in the box, there are so many on the site that you literally could get on and choose six and just say for the next year, we're going to take these six series in a box and we're going to use them and have all the graphics, the high quality graphics to be able to utilize the video. Or say we're going to choose one box a month. We'll pick 12 of them, be able to save a lot of money and not having videographers or designers, but have all the great content to be able to use to create great sermon series, worship experiences throughout the entire year right there. And you can have them downloaded right away.
So one thing that we're really trying to do is make it really affordable for you. Yep. So we have ready-made media, we have custom media, which is custom for you. So the custom stuff is a step up. So that's going to be more expensive because we're making it from scratch. But the ready-made stuff, we're trying to really lower that price so that any church can take advantage of it.
But even if you have someone on your staff or a volunteer within the church that's familiar at all with using Photoshop, in every box, there's actually the PSD file given to you. So you can actually take that and go beyond what we've given to you to be able to create other things as well. So it's really, really versatile. It's super easy to use. And I really think it'll give you everything you need to create a worship experience.
So to your point about choosing six boxes, 12 boxes throughout the year. Just think, if our subscription is $33 a month, so it's $396 a year, so under $400 bucks, Under $400, I have everything I need for every single series for my entire year.
Right.
Not only that, but access to everything else in the library too. So we're really trying hard to make it really affordable for you guys. So be sure to take advantage of that. And
what I love about it too is these boxes, we've done a really good job, I think, of creating kind of like a across the board, we're touching everything. So you might grab two, you know, books of the Bible that you have within your 6 week, 8 week, or eight month, plan, or some discipleship ones as well. Maybe there's some holidays, some seasonal things in there, Christmas, Thanksgiving. So you can really plan out and prepare well for your whole team, make sure everybody's well equipped.
Yeah. So you can go to 1230.media or directly to the box. We have seriesinabox.com is a URL to go directly to the boxes if you want to check those out. All right, so at the end of the show today, like I was saying, we will be sharing a coupon code for a free countdown from our library. So we'll give you that code at the end of the show, so be sure to stay with us for that. Again, we are recording this episode at Ridgecrest Conference Center, so you might be a pastor or a leader that wants to take your team somewhere to retreat, to relax, to plan for the next season of your ministry, and this is a great place to come. It's in Asheville, North Carolina, beautiful mountains, so be sure to check out Ridgecrest, especially if you're in the Southeast, and bring your team here, because it's a great place to come. And with that, one of the things that pastors plan when they come here that we've seen is they plan, like I was saying, the next season of their ministry. How are we going to grow our church, both numerically and spiritually, and for kingdom impact? And we're going to continue our conversation with Michael Lukaszewski from Church Fuel today on that very topic. How do I grow my church, and what are some of the barriers that pastors face when it comes to church growth? So we're going to dive into part two of our conversation with Michael right after this.
Introducing monthly custom media plans from 1230 Media. Affordable, no-contract monthly plans for custom graphic design and video for your church. Custom sermon series designs, announcement graphics, social media graphics, sermon bumpers and trailers, promotional videos, countdowns, church announcement videos, and more. Choose between custom graphics, custom video, or graphics and video plans. Harness the power of a full creative team every month to serve your church or ministry, with plans starting at only $600 per month. Join hundreds of churches using 1230 Media to transform your worship experience. Get started today at 1230.media/pricing. That's 1230.media/pricing.
Let's talk about barriers to church growth. Okay, so we'll hit on a few. First one is people. So talk to me how people can be a barrier to church growth.
This is the number one barrier you've got. In fact, for all of you tasked with making, you know, the Sunday morning service happen and the Sunday all environments happen and all that kind of stuff, your number one challenge is not curriculum. It's not, an asset or a thing. It's people. It's people. Like, we need volunteers. We need people to do this stuff. And so investing in our people, developing leaders, right? And so we've got to recruit volunteers, and we need to turn some of them into leaders. And that is always our number one growth barrier. It's not service times, not your location. It's not the fact that you have XYZ denomination in your name. Those are not your biggest challenges. Your biggest challenge is probably a people challenge, which is why it's always smart to start with this one, to go, you know, I always think about it. It's the box. It's like, you have some people, you probably don't have enough people, but you have some people. How well are you helping those people that you have? And I think that's a spiritual principle. I think it's the parable of the talents. If we're not faithful to develop the people that we have, why in the world would God send new people to our church? So I would start with people, and people are your biggest barrier. That makes them your biggest opportunity.
Good. you hit on this, but that it's not the maybe it's not the numbers of people that we have on our staff, but it's the development of the people that we have on our staff. Do you want to talk about that and maybe your volunteer?
Yeah, the volunteer and leader thing is so important, because I've never had a church come to me and say, Michael, we have too many volunteers. What do we do? I mean, like, we have too many. Like, we don't know. We got to create some more ministries. That's always the other problem. The reason that leadership development and people development doesn't happen in churches is because it's never on your calendar, right? It's literally never on our calendar. You have other meetings, you have events, you have programs on your calendar, but leadership development never makes it to our calendar. And so we have to elevate that in our churches, that if you have a handful of volunteers, Are you pastoring them? Are you developing them? If you have staff, are you pastoring your staff? Are you developing your staff? Do you have leadership development meetings actually on your calendar? Because if it's not on your calendar, it doesn't exist. It's not going to happen organically. It's going to happen intentionally. And intentionality means your calendar has to, so you better send an invite and somebody has to accept it or it doesn't happen. And with volunteers, right? That's a process too, that we have to recruit new volunteers. We have to train them and we have to pastor them, recruit, train, and pastor. Most churches are overweighted in one of those areas. They're either over recruit and then people burn out, or they get a whole bunch of people and they never train them and they, you know, doesn't work. Or they're just taking care of the small group of volunteers. They never get new ones. So recruit, train, pastor, three steps of like going into a church environment and finding people who are not volunteering and moving them through a process. That's a people barrier. And we got to focus on that one.
Number two, systems. Talk to me about, let's move into that. Talk to me about making sure we have good systems.
Yeah. So systems are one of those things that doesn't sound spiritual at first. You know, you could substitute plan here, maybe, you know, or checklists or whatever. And you know, the power of the checklist. I mean, our brains were not wired to remember all the steps. This is why an airline pilot, before she takes off on the airplane, gets on the speaker and, you know, tells you how they're going to be flying at so many thousands of feet and all the kind of stuff. But right before they take off, a lot of times you'll hear them say this. They'll say, we're waiting for our final paperwork, or we're turning in our paperwork. Literally, here's a trained pilot about to take off a giant plane full of hundreds of people, and they're doing paperwork. Why? Because there is a checklist that they have to go through every single time they take off to make sure that the plane is functioning properly. Doctors have a checklist. If you go, you know, doctors have checklists for stupid stuff like washing their hands. Literally, this is something we tell preschoolers. But you're telling me people that have been in medical school still have to have a checklist before they go perform a surgery? Yes, because our brains are not wired to remember all the steps. Our brains are actually wired for creativity and high level thinking. And so when we get that processes and systems, and how do we follow up with guests, and what do we do when somebody gives, or how do we recruit a volunteer, or how do we get a new deacon or whatever? Like when we reduce all that down to a process or a checklist that we can follow, it actually frees our brain up to go find those people or to go minister to those people. And so systems in a church are wildly important. We have a course inside Churchfield called the Systems Course. I don't know how to name stuff, so I just name it what it is. Not very creative, but it helps you create systems in all these key areas so that you can follow them and not have to come up with it every time.
If I have a good system, what is the result? What do good systems do?
Well, here's the thing. It's like nobody's sitting around on a Monday going, man, I can't wait to create some systems today. But we all love the output of it, because the output of it means we didn't skip steps. So we got the thing done correctly. We usually save money. And we're all for that, right? If you have a good process along the way, I know you know this too in video work. Here's my question. Do you charge more money for a rush job?
We do.
And so if somebody had a system, and as you should, and so if somebody had a planning system that was like it, that helped them get stuff done earlier, and then they didn't have to rush it, or if they didn't have to overnight mail the package or whatever, we can actually save money by planning ahead. And what helps us planning ahead is not desire, but a checklist. Like, oh, I need to have this thing done by this day. And if you submit this by this day, we can get it back to you by this day, and then everything will be great. That's a system. That's a process. And so it saves us money. It helps us be consistent, right? So our stuff can look alike. You know, we probably all have that volunteer who really meant well, who like printed off the sign at home on their printer to hang up on the door or whatever. And it's like, you know, that's not on brand. I mean, thanks for that, but you tape that up on the wall and it looks terrible. Well, that's a system problem, not a people problem, because that could have been done before. And so it saves us money. It solves problems. It creates consistency across everything that we're trying to do. And so I'm a big fan. It saves people problems too. A lot of times we think we have a people problem, but it's really a system problem. Not a people problem. We didn't give the person the proper plan. And so they did the best they could, but they didn't have the whole thing.
Good. All right. Let's talk about culture. Barrier number three, culture. Hit me with that one.
Culture, this is probably the most like esoteric one, you know, because like, what is culture? I keep talking about these tomatoes, but I think about these tomatoes outside my window. There's a reason that I...
You're going to use them tonight for dinner. You know that, right?
I know. They're not even ready yet. They're like baby little green tomatoes. But there's a reason that I can grow tomatoes. I live outside of Atlanta. There's a reason I can grow tomatoes and not a cactus. The reason I'm not growing a cactus outside is because there's too much rain here in the South to grow a cactus. Now, if I was in Arizona, it'd probably be really hard for me to grow a tomato outside because they need much more water than they get, but I could probably grow a cactus outside. So the reason I can grow what I can grow, it doesn't have anything to do with passion or desire and everything to do with the environment. And so my environment, my garden environment is well suited for tomatoes and not a cactus. And so culture is like an environment. The culture of your church is the environment where certain things can grow and certain things cannot grow. And if you've ever tried to push through change in your church and that change got met with all kinds of resistance, that is a culture problem because you have a culture of protection, right? We're against change. We're culture of the status, preserve the status quo. And that's why change bumps up against that. So that's a culture problem. If you have a culture where older people are more valued than younger people, that's a culture. And so the youth pastor comes and tries to do all this stuff and doesn't ever feel any support or success and is constantly feeling beat down. That's a culture problem. And so culture is why things can grow or not grow in a garden and in a church. And so this is a huge barrier. And it's why a lot of the great ideas that we have never take root in our church is because we don't do the work of culture. Now, it sounds very theoretical, but there's stuff you can do to create culture. So for example, language creates culture. Like literally the words you say, this is why I've heard you talk about this, Carl. It's like, this is why we should call them guests and not visitors. Mm-hmm. That's language that creates culture. A guest is invited and welcome. A visitor could be accidental.
Right.
And so literally creating a term, describing it, teaching on it, language can create culture in a little way. Values create culture, not just having them, but calling them out. Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, your value, I don't know what a church example of a church value would be. But whenever you see it, call it out. Hey, Bob did a good job. You know how our value is XYZ? On Sunday, I saw Bob doing this. He was living out our value. So identifying and then calling out your values when you see them or don't see them creates culture. Your budget is a culture document. You don't think about it like that way. You think of your budget as a financial document, but it's actually a culture document. You could tell me what your values are, and that's great. But if you show me your budget, I'll actually know what your values are because you fund the things that are important to you. And so if you want to change the culture in your church, the budget is actually a way to do that over time. The people that you put on stage or in leadership is a culture opportunity. I talked to so many churches like, we need to get younger. We need to get younger. You know, our church is literally going to die out if we don't get younger. And I'm like, well, do you put younger people on leadership? Well, no, they're not qualified yet. Well, you've got a culture problem and it's never going to get fixed. I know they're going to mess stuff up. I know it's not going to be great, but you have to do it if you want to create that culture. So there are things, real things we can do to create culture, but culture is a big barrier. Culture is why growth and health don't happen in a lot of churches. That's a huge barrier for many.
Would you agree that it's similar to what we talked about earlier in that culture? You might have to put some culture things on your calendar.
Totally. Yeah.
In order to lean into, you know, I'm going to focus on budget. I'm going to focus on values. I'm going to think about my language and what language can I use when I'm on Sunday or with my volunteers, or with my group.
Yeah.
How does that?
Okay. Yeah. I think putting that stuff on your calendar, your to-do list is great. Like I would, if I was listening to this, And if I happen to think this was a great idea, I know I'm assuming a lot, but I would go to my to-do list right now and I would put a to-do, an action item to like create a one-page dictionary for our church. Like I literally write down words that we think are important and define what they are. And I would go to our staff and I'd say, make sure we're calling it this and not that. Like, let's lift up these words. And that may be something you could revisit periodically a couple times a year to just like, here's our ABC church dictionary. Like these are the terms. This is why we call them guests, not visitors. You know, there's lots of things like that. I think if you do it, we mentioned evaluation earlier. If you do an evaluation of staff and key leaders, I would evaluate against values. Like if these are your church's core values, I would have a section on evaluation. How well does this person reflect this core value. Write a specific time when something they did reflected this value. Where does this person have an opportunity to improve in this specific value? And you begin to talk about that and it like flushes it out.
What about strategy? How is strategy a barrier?
This is probably my favorite one to talk about. We could do a whole show on this because strategy is this missing middle ground, right? So pastor has a vision, or church has a vision, and then church has programs and ministries, the stuff that they do, right? Sunday morning, kids ministry, small group. So we have this big purpose and mission and vision over here. And then we have all these tactical things over here. Like we need a social media calendar and we got Sunday morning service to plan. Big stuff, small stuff. And so we've got both of these things existing. Strategy is what holds them together. This is missing in so many churches. Strategy is where you answer that, yeah, but how question. It's like, okay, well, churches are the worst. We're going to change our community. Okay, great. How are we going to do that? And so then we come up with these other words. Well, we're going to give, grow, go. That's our strategy. That's not a strategy. That's just a bunch of words that start with the same letter. Strategy is literally a written plan for how we're going to do what we're setting out to do. And it's hard because we tend to make it complicated. I was working on a course for Church Fuel on strategy. We have a course on strategy. Our strategic planning document is 2 pages long. Page one is who you are, and page two is what you do. And they're very important that you do them in that order, because who you are should determine what you do. Mm-hmm. And so we teach all this. We'll help you do it. We call it the 2-page plan. Again, that's how I name stuff. It's so terrible. what do we call this thing? We couldn't call it the 2-page plan. But I, in preparation for this, I was reading all these church strategic plans. And they were 30, 40, 50 pages long. You could tell like a consultant came in and they spent a lot of money. I found one that was 67 pages long. The church strategic plan was 67 pages long. I bet you the staff hasn't even read that.
Yeah, no way.
You know, like that's crazy. So you need a simple strategy that answers the how are we going to do what we're setting out to do questions. And that is something I would say most churches are missing that. They have goals. Like what's our strategy? Well, we're going to get everybody in a small group. That's a goal. That's not a strategy. How are you going to get everybody in a small group? And if I could come to your church and I could sit down with you and I could spend time with your leaders, after we got a few things out of the way, I would focus in and help you answer these how questions. And it would change so much in your church. Not because my answers or my advice would be great, but simply by forcing us to have that conversation and identify how we're going to do stuff, it opens so many doors in churches.
Yes, we could do a whole show on that one.
I know. I could talk about that forever.
all right. Last one. Barrier for church growth, spiritual. So tell me about spiritual warfare or maybe some spiritual traits that would be barriers to growth.
Yeah. So this one is like, it's almost like the exact opposite of everything we've been talking about, because strategy doesn't sound spiritual. Systems don't sound spiritual. And here's the thing. You could have great systems and excellent strategies and have all the right people, and God's still not, you know, be blessing your church for whatever reason. There is a spiritual component to this. So to loop it all the way back to where we started, remember your church is, there's a lot of businessy things that your church does, but your church is not just a business. Your church is a spiritual endeavor, a spiritual enterprise. You can't reduce everything down to a piece of paper. And so faith and prayer and actual understanding of the Bible and of scripture, and even of Christian history, like really understanding and living out those things. We've seen, and I know you've seen, and maybe you've been a part of a church like this, where you go through like spiritual moments of growth in your church, like as a congregation. And that is a catalyst for so many good things, because spiritual growth absolutely can be a catalyst to growth, and lack of spiritual growth can be a barrier to growth. And so maybe you need a strategy and a plan and, you know, all the stuff that we've talked about, or maybe it's, and maybe our people and our leaders need to pray more. I mean, so let's not discount this spiritual stuff and recognize that our church is fundamentally different than the average business in your city. What you do matters, you know, probably a little more than the hardware store, And I'm for the hardware store. I like a hard, good hardware store. But what you're doing as a pastor and what your church is doing in your community, it's more important. There's more at stake. And so there are spiritual things that we have to fight through. And let's just not discount those. Let's lean into those as well. So that's why I list that as the fifth, not fifth as in like it's the least important, but sometimes it's overlooked. And sometimes one of these other ones is overlooked. All of these can be barriers working together.
So we can zip through this one real quickly, but what are some of the church growth drivers? We talked about barriers a little bit, but what are some things that would really, jumpstart our growth, be a driver?
Yeah, so it's funny because it's like if we just said these are the five barriers of church growth, the drivers of church growth are the opposite of those five things. So it's like, so on one hand, it's like, do the opposite of the barriers, like break through those barriers. But I did list a few of them right here. So number one is like leadership. That goes speaks to that people barrier. Focus on your leaders. I don't care if you only have one other leader in your church. That's where I would start. That when you focus on leadership, maybe the leader's you get better. And that'll become a driver of church growth. We've seen this as the leadership gets better, the church tends to get better. As the leadership is growing, the church tends to grow. So that's number one. Number two is a culture of inviting. We talked about culture. If I could wish one thing about your church culture, it would be that it's normal for people to invite, whether it's online or in person. Doesn't matter. Like, hey, when people are out in the community, say, hey, I'd love to invite you to my church. That is a culture thing. When that is a normal thing, it just flows out of people. That is a driver of growth. Number three is casting a clear vision. Here's where we're going. Short-term and long-term, by the way. Your vision can't be like, we're going to change the world. No one knows what the heck that means. It has to be tangible. It has to be specific. It's really important. Number four, a shift of focus to be outward, right? Not just inward, but outward. We're for the community where we have things that will help you where you are. We're not just here to take care of our saints, but we're going out into the community. That's a driver. Number five, clarifying who you're trying to reach. This is a huge one. Pastors say, well, we're trying to reach everybody. Love the Spirit, not a helpful answer, right? You're not going to reach everybody. Your church is uniquely wired to do a far better job at reaching a certain segment of your city. There are other churches in town too. This is the beauty of the kingdom. Who is God specifically calling you to reach? And I know the gospel is for everyone. The church is for everyone. And hopefully anyone can come to your church and feel at home. But we need to identify who we're really called to reach. And there's probably a very important conversation to have there. That's a driver. Number six is see your key ministries as growth drivers. So what are your most important ministries? We have a whole exercise that we take you through. We call those keystone ministries because a keystone holds up the rest of the arch. Those are those rocks at the top. They're usually shaped like a pyramid or a triangle. If you took those keystones out of the whole arch falls. And if the arch falls, a lot of times the whole structure will fall. The keystone holds up the whole thing. Your church has a handful of ministries that are keystone. If you took them out, the whole church falls. That means you have some other ministries that if you took them away, I mean, somebody might be upset, but it's not going to fundamentally change your church. So you got to identify the key ones and then build around them. That's a driver of growth. And then the last one, we hinted on this earlier. It's we focus on engagement, not just attendance. It's fine to track attendance. You totally should. But engagement, which you have to define, is a much better measurement of like the activity that's going on, the real activity that's going on in your church. So those are seven. I'll say them real quick again. Leadership, culture of inviting, clear vision for the future, shift your focus to outward, clarify who you're trying to reach, keystone ministries, and focus on engagement. Those are seven drivers that we talk about.
So I know this question might sound weird, but I think we kind of know it to be true. What happens when people don't want the church to grow? Have you been in scenarios where?
Yeah, a lot of people.
No, we're good.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want the church to grow. In fact, I think it's funny. I was talking about this the other day. Like I have a favorite restaurant and I don't want anybody else to know about it. You know, it's like, I like it. I go there and it's not crowded. And if everybody else went there, there'd be a line and I'd have to wait. And you know, I think we should just step back and go, it's actually probably much more common for people to not want their church to grow than it is for them to want their church to grow. That is human nature. And so don't assume that everybody wants more people there. because it's disruptive. It's disruptive. So I think you got to recognize that. I think we have an article on our site about that. Of what do you do when people don't want the church to grow? And there's probably some action, good action steps in there. But the big thing is most people don't. That's just where people are. Human nature, I suppose. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just, that is what it is, right?
Yep. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time today, man. And as we leave, tell us a little bit more about Church Fuel. How can I, what kind of resources you provide? How can I sign up? How can I get to know you guys a little bit more?
Yeah. So just churchfuel.com. It's a monthly membership program. We don't do any kind of contracts or commitments. So it's month by month. You can come stay as long as you want. We have a bunch of online courses. I think I mentioned the systems course, but there's about 14 of them that you can take. There's one on planning. So we've got courses, we've got resources like that 2-page plan I mentioned is a template that you can use with your leadership team. You can work through that. There's a bunch of those. We have classes that happen live. I think you're coming to teach a class soon.
Yeah.
We've got classes. There's labs that we work on stuff together. We have coaches that can talk to you if you need help. And so all of that stuff is at churchfuel.com. You can you know, read all about it, ask questions if you've got them, but we'd love to have you. We've got members all over I think every state, all kinds of countries. Are part of the community, and it's really a community of pastors who want the church to grow and be healthy. That's what it is. We'd love to have you.
You guys do a fantastic job. More for pastors, you think, or really your core audience?
Yeah, really good question. So one of the things, we made this decision, I think about 18, 19 months ago, that it's typically the pastor that signs up, but all the staff members can be added to the account at no extra charge. So we'll have worship pastors, creative directors, communication directors, youth pastors, kids pastors, everybody. We have a lot of volunteers. I think maybe even about 10% of our members are volunteers at their church who sign up for their church and then like go add the rest of the staff. It's like a way that they give to their church, which I love that. It's great, but you can go and add unlimited users and get everybody their own thing. And then they can go through a course that's relevant to them.
Right.
And that may not be relevant to you, but yeah. So usually the pastor joins, but not always, but no matter who joins, you can add anybody and everybody from the church that needs an account.
Good. Well, thanks for this information, man. Love what you're sharing. Love what you're doing. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Awesome, man. This was fun. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, Carl here. I want to tell you about my ebook, Pastor First, 15 Ways to Win the Hearts of Your Volunteers. Pastoring your people is the secret sauce to building a dynamic volunteer culture at your church. You have to care more about who your volunteers are becoming over what they do on your team. In this ebook, I share 15 practical ways to make people your first priority in your tech ministry. From knowing their name and their story, to scheduling intentional time outside of serving, to how to set them up for success, this ebook gives you a practical guide to pastoring your people well. Pick up a copy today at 1230.media/books. You can download it straight to your desktop or your favorite e-reader. I pray the book will give you some steps to show your team that you care more about them than what they do on your team.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for checking out the show today. I'm hanging with my friend Stal. We call you Stal, the Italian stallion, baby. Stal is a master at coordinating and executing our blog, podcast, and other training content for the 1230 Media site, as well as the 1230 Kids side as well now. So Stal, we talked about church growth today and last week on the show. So what are some things that really excite you about our training content that helps pastors, tech leaders, worship leaders really grow their church, see church growth?
Yeah. Carl, I think what I enjoy the most is probably just the variety of our topics. You know, we cover all kinds of things from, yes, the tech side, the production side, but we also talk about leadership. And we talk about service planning, communications, And so for the people who make Sunday happen, that's not just from the worship production, they also have a place to come. And we're hearing from great names in the industry, people who are in the trenches. It's not someone who, you know, led a church 10 years ago. It's people who are doing it week in, week out. It's innovative, especially with church online. We added that category during COVID to say, hey, what are some tips and tricks that we can do as we're moving to an online church? And so it's current, it's updated, it's leaders in the industry, and it just has variety.
You mentioned current. One thing I love about our blog and our podcast is the consistency. Mm. We're releasing a blog post every single Wednesday. We're releasing a podcast every single Monday. So it's fresh every single week. And you do a great job of making sure it's there, making sure it's fresh and there. Tell me some of the maybe the topics that we've covered recently and maybe what excites you about what's to come.
Yeah, well, we've had, like I said, probably with the, if I think of the blog, we've had people talk about, again, just kind of reflections from COVID. It's moving so fast, the church world right now, where everyone, you know, adapted to one thing and now we're adapting back and we're trying to blend things and have a hybrid. And so the guys who are writing stuff are talking about what their experiences are as we come out of COVID, as we have seen these new trends. And so it's constantly evolving. So I like that aspect of it. Some of the topics that have been just kind of just very current, very real. Like as I'm reading the blog, putting it together, I can be like, yeah, this is what we're doing at our church. And I just kind of see the parallels. And then the guests. I just love some of the guests that we've had on the podcast, especially just people who I think we just did an episode with someone from Barna Research.
Yeah.
Just giving us numbers and stats and real data for how to track church growth and church shifts and the movements that we're seeing.
Yeah. So I would say with the blog, especially if you're a pastor, if you're a tech leader, worship leader that wants to write for our blog, we would love to consider you to do that. Just go to 1230.media/submit and you can submit your blog right there. It'll come right to Stal and you can we'll read that and review it and put it on the site. And so that way you can kind of share the knowledge of what God is doing with you and in your church with other people. So we would love to have you do that. 1230.media/submit again is that URL. All right, so as we promised at the top of the show, we're going to give you a free countdown from our site. So I want you to go to 1230.media, 1230.media, and under the ready-made tab, you can click on countdowns, and you can see dozens and dozens of countdowns there. And you can choose any one you want. I'm going to give you a code to make one of those free for you. So you're going to use the code CD, as in countdown, CD304. So CD304. And so you can add a countdown to your cart and add that code in, and it will take it from $10 down to zero for you. So CD304. It's a great deal, Stal.
That's a pretty good deal.
Free coupons, baby.
I'm making one myself.
Come on. Well, be sure to do that and be sure to check out the other stuff that we have on our site. You can go over to the training tab and check out the things that Stal was talking about with the blog and the podcast. And we also have book resources there for you and other things. So be sure to check that out, 1230.media. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.